Rafa settled into her rooms at the hotel her travel agent had recommended. She had no idea where Ronnie and George would be staying, but it shouldn't be too hard to find out. The traveler's directory listed visitors by homeworld. The Familia's Regnant section had more names than she had expected, and for a moment she let herself wonder what Venezia Glendower Moraline Sevatagos was doing there. Rafa had been at school with one of her nieces. She hadn't thought about Otala Moraline for a couple of years at least.
Never mind all that. Where's Ronnie?
She found his name, finally, listed as traveling rather than at a fixed address. Communications could be left with the traveler's directory, the listing said.
Great. Ronnie and George have run off somewhere for a little unauthorized fun, and I have no idea when they'll be back.
She felt angry and was annoyed with herself. They didn't know she was coming. It wasn't deliberate. Perhaps a good meal would help. She called up the hotel directory and decided on the smallest of the dining rooms, described as quiet, intimate, and refined, yet casual. The Guarnesi definition of quiet, intimate, refined, and casual had tables set into mirrored alcoves. Each alcove was divided from the main room by an arch of greenery, from which graceful sprays of fragrant orchids swayed. Once ensconced in her alcove, Rafa discovered that the mirrors reflected only the greenery and the delicate curves of the chandelier, not the diners. She glanced casually into other alcoves just to check, and wondered briefly how the mirrors worked. She had worked her way through most of her meal when someone passed by in a flamboyant trail of scarlet ruffles that caught her eye. A tall, black-haired woman, whose walk expressed absolute confidence in her ability to attract attention. The red dress left the elegant line of her back to no one's imagination, and a drip of diamonds down her spine only emphasized its perfection. Two men in formal dress followed her, one tall with a mane of red hair, and the other short and stout. Rafa leaned forward, excited despite herself. It had to be Madame Moran, who had toured in the Familius Regnant, though she lived here. She had seen the famous diva hardly an arm's length away. She would check the entertainment listings. Perhaps there would be a performance while she was here. She hoped it would be Gertrude and Lida, but she would happily listen to Moran sing a grocery list. She glanced around the tables she could see. And there he was. The last person she had expected to see was the Familius's former king. But there he sat, spooning up the cold fish soup as if he were at home back on Castle Rock. Rafa blinked and looked down at her own meal. It couldn't be the king. Former king. Former chair of the Grand Council. Wherever he was, he wouldn't be here in the Guerni Republic. Rumor had it that his wife had moved out after his resignation and returned to her family's estates. Everyone had said he was helping with administrative matters. She blinked, but the shape of his face, the way of holding the spoon, did not change. He paused, pressed his hands to his temples a moment, in a gesture she had known from childhood. It had to be the king. It could not be the king. She lingered over dessert, sneaking furtive glances at the man now placidly working his way through some kind of meat wrapped in pastry. It still looked like the king. Her parents' age or a little older, but that was hard to tell after a rejuve or so. He held himself like someone used to being served. Anyone would who stayed in this hotel and ate in this dining room. He ate quickly, neatly, and refused dessert with a gesture. When he rose and turned to leave, Rafa looked down, wondered why she didn't smile and greet him. It was the king. It could not be the king. She would go to bed and think about it tomorrow. The next morning, the directory reported no response from Ronnie or George. Rafa delivered the samples Lord Thornbuckle had given her to the Neurosciences Institute. Then she took a tour of the city's botanic gardens and discovered that the orchids in the hotel dining room were only one of 5,492 species cultivated on Music. The guide explained more about orchids than anyone on the tour wanted to know and seemed to think tourists were responsible for the unwanted information.
And how many species have been adapted for the production of neuroactive chemicals?
No one could answer, and the guide pouted. Rafa looked at the available tours for that afternoon and decided to stay in. Traveling alone with the intent to have no adventures continued to be more boring than Rafa had expected. After 3 days of sensible sightseeing with no word from Ronnie and George, she was ready for a change. She was used to having someone to keep out of trouble, which also meant someone to talk to. She had seen the ex-king, and she had no one to tell. Even her mother would be preferable to this empty room with its bland blue, gray, and beige color scheme. It didn't make her feel rested and sleepy. It made her feel like going out to find some color and excitement. Color and excitement, as the tourist brochures made clear, could be found in the old city, which was actually newer than the new city, but had been rebuilt to look older. Rafa had found this sort of reasoning on other planets, where war or economic clearances had suggested the profitability of nostalgia. She headed for the old city after a discussion with the concierge, who agreed that it was safe at this early hour of the evening. The new city became the old city at a dramatic arch. Beyond, the street itself narrowed, but expanded in irregular bays to each side, marked off by changes in paving, colorful plants in decorative tubs, and even the occasional row of formerly clipped trees. Most of the color and excitement aimed at tourists involved displays of Guarnesi dancing to music from antique instruments. From somewhere down the street, a curl of saxophone lured her on. She almost recognized the melody, but she couldn't put a name to it. It came, she discovered, from an open door, not a courtyard. Inside, tables crowded around a low stage. She saw the saxophone player, instrument tucked under his arm, leaning over to talk to another musician with a guitar on his lap. Two more guitarists were stretching as they chatted.
Madam?
When she smiled and nodded, the waiter led her to a table halfway between stage and wall. She set her elbows on the table and peered at the napkin, which suggested in four languages that the appropriate tip was 20%. She glanced around, suddenly uncomfortable for no reason she could define, and it hit her. At least half of those watching came in pairs, triplets, quads, all identical. Most of the identicals were pairs, twins. But a few tables away, four identical blonde women chatted with three identical blonde men. And when Rafa took a second look, she realized that the men and women were, but for differences in hairstyle, dress, and cleavage, identical with each other. Seven faces alike. She shivered. These must be clones. She had heard of them, but never seen them. They were illegal in the Familia space. She knew that much. She looked at the musicians more closely. Were they all clones? They didn't look as much alike as the seven blondes, but there was a family resemblance, even in the fifth player. Rafa tried to tell herself that it was just a matter of different customs. There was nothing wrong with clones, and she wasn't in danger or anything. And she liked the music. When the music ended, Rafa found herself wondering where clone designers found their patterns. That man she had been so sure was the ex-king, for instance. Could that have been a clone, perhaps? Surely a neighboring government wouldn't make clones of its neighbor's political leaders. Or would it? Speculation bothered her. She didn't want to wonder about that or anything else. She had an appointment at the corporate headquarters of Atot Veal the next day. The structure was built into a slope, and the stairs offered open-air communication from level to level. Rafa followed the markers set alight by the button that had come with her appointment notice. The young woman who met her at the reception area seemed to find Rafa's presence entirely understandable.
We'll take you on the usual tour, and then you tell me what else you'd like to see. Your aunt's never visited us herself, but we understood that was for health reasons.
I'm so sorry. I wouldn't know.
Of course you can't tell us. We've established no need to know. But if it is health, you might want to investigate the medical facilities. Recently, one of your prominent citizens benefited from the expertise of the Neurosciences Institute. I'm sure they'd give you references.
Lady Cecilia.
Oh, you know her. Good. We really do welcome stockholder participation, you see. And if your aunt could travel, we would very much enjoy the benefit of her expertise.
Rafa wondered. Aunt Marta's expertise, as far as she had known, consisted of an instinctive grasp of what to sell and what to buy. She had never involved herself with management, preferring to live in relaxed comfort, pursuing her hobbies. Now she followed the young woman along gleaming corridors, wishing she had the foggiest notions what questions to ask. By the time she'd had the usual tour and collected an armful of glossy brochures, she was ready to quit for the day.
But you'll come again, I hope. Your aunt's is one of the few licensed facilities using our process.
Rafa still wasn't sure what process, but she knew she would have to find out. It would keep her mind off Ronnie. She had not seen the man who resembled the king for days. She had not forgotten him, but he was no longer part of her anticipation. But the next morning he appeared again, striding along the carpeted corridor toward the lobby with the firm stride of someone who knows where he's going. Rafa put down the story cube she had just picked up and watched him. He paused by the concierge's desk, then headed for the doors. Inexplicably, Rafa felt drawn to follow and darted through the gift shop door. The man had already disappeared through the front doors. Rafa stretched her legs and followed. There he was, outside, chatting with the doorman, waiting for a car, no doubt. One of the sleek electric cabs pulled up, and he got in. Rafa waited until it began to move, then went out to the street. The cab moved smoothly away.